Hello and welcome to another podcast from the Sussex Cricket Museum. We've been to Newick to have a look at the village cricket team there in the past, and we spoke to the president, David Wickins. Today we've come out into the Weald of Sussex, and we're in a cricket pavilion at the moment. I'm standing with a gentleman who I'll introduce to you in a moment. We're in the pavilion, as I've said, but unfortunately, although it is February, the weather is pretty poor. It's very grey. The rain is sheeting across the outfield here from south to north. But luckily, as we're in the pavilion, it's nice and warm and dry. And the pavilion itself, I'm sure we will talk about. So I've come to the village of Henfield today, which has a rich cricket history going back nearly 250 years. And I'm with a person who actually has been involved with Henfield cricket and his family for over seven generations. So I'd like to welcome Conway Thorns to the podcast today.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Henfield Cricket Club.
You are Mr. Henfield, aren't you, Conway?
I don't think so. I just enjoy my cricket, and I've always taken an interest in cricket. So, and it happens that my shoulders have taken on the burden of looking after the cricket club, and I love it. It's wonderful.
Terrific. Now, just going back, your family, seven generations.
That's
so
great.
Can you just go back a little bit? When did that start?
Well, my great-grandfather, he was in the 30s, then followed by my father just before the war and after the war. My son took over, then I took over from my father, and then my son took over from me. And now, hopefully, in the future, my grandson, Seb, will take over from his father. So it's we're keeping it going slowly. Yeah. But
so it's a great family club here at Henfield.
I think so, yes. I think so. A lot of it is Henfield organised as well. There's a lot of people, although previous to the modern day, a lot of people from Brighton used to come out and play for us. Nowadays, we do have quite a lot of local people play, and they are really sort of trying to set the world alight as a local club, and just looking after ourselves as a village club.
Mm, that's fantastic. Now, just for those people that may listen to this podcast who are not local, Henfield itself lies about 11 miles northwest of Brighton.
Correct.
It's close to the Downs.
Correct.
And we've got Lewes, 16 miles to the east, and Horsham, 11 miles to the northwest.
Yep.
So you've always been in a good position here to attract other teams to come and play.
Well, I think one of our strengths is the fact that it's also a weakness to a degree, but our strength is the fact that we are in the middle, basically right in the middle of the county, where people, to go to a cricket match, will travel, but they won't have to travel vast distances to get anywhere, not like somewhere from Findon to Rye or somewhere like that. You know, it's quite manageable to get to a place like Henfield, which is quite central. It's also a little bit of a come down, because certainly now that league cricket has started, we don't really know whether we're in the west, the east or the middle, so we do get moved around quite a bit, yeah, but still that's the way it is. But we are where we are, so we can't do anything about it.
Well, I think I mentioned at the beginning there that we're standing in the pavilion, and the bar's here, but it's not open today. But in the pavilion, just looking around, we've got lots of cricket team pictures. And in front of me here, I've got a picture and various bits of information about Henfield's most famous cricketer, Henry Charwood. And he's famous because he's Henfield's only test cricketer. And I'm sure you're very proud of that at the club here, Conway.
Definitely we're proud. And I would say he's, because of his name is Charwood and he's C and he played in the first test match, he is number two on the list.
Right.
I don't know who number one is, somebody with an A or B, I guess. But Charwood is number two on the list.
Right. And he played in one of the Lillywhite teams over in Australia, didn't he?
Yes, he did, yeah.
Yes. And I think they won one test. And
I think, they did all right over there,
right.
Yes.
Yes, so, and just going back, around the edge of this plaque, there's a picture of Charwood in the middle and the test team and the various scorecards, and the number 1771, the year 1771, with, is it a cock or a...
That's a chicken.
Chicken.
Hen, as in Henfield.
As in Henfield, right. Which is the symbol of the club, obviously.
Which is the symbol of the club, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, so yeah. 1771, I think there's some slight debate about cricket being started then. Probably it was played a bit before that time.
Well, we know for a fact from Marchant's diary, a book that's been written, that cricket was played in the sandfields of Henfield in 1719. And also there was another game in the 1721. But we know that there was not a team formed. It was just matches played in Henfield. But we take it from the time when we can confirm that a matches were played under a name of Henfield, and that is 1771.
Right.
So, you know, it's one thing to say, oh, yeah, we were formed in cricket in 1719, and so there was, but you couldn't say it was a club in 1719. It was just a random amount of people playing cricket at some time.
I understand, so, no. So
that's why we went to 1771,
right,
where we know that we have games
records.
On record.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, and we've mentioned one famous cricketer, Henry Charwood, but there's a few others. I mean, just before we started recording this, we mentioned David Shepherd, the Reverend David Shepherd.
Reverend David Shepherd played here. I played a game one afternoon with Reverend Shepherd against Horsham. I can't remember how many, he didn't get many runs, but he got a wicket, and you'd never seen any, but it was a caught and bowled, and you'd never seen anybody so happy in your life for getting a catch. It was very enjoyable. He was a lovely, lovely man. He really was.
And who was he playing for?
Played for Henfield.
Oh, he played for Henfield.
Played for Henfield.
Right.
He was a friend of one of the Henfield players.
Right.
And he came down for the weekend, and obviously, being the Reverend David Shepherd, had to play cricket.
Yes, yeah, and probably attracted quite a good crowd.
Oh, yeah. There was quite a lot of people here. Everybody was very, very sort of, this is wonderful. This is, you know, this is great. But he was very good. And I can remember when he caught it, he dived forward and caught it, and he made a comment, because he was quite a large man. He did make a comment about how well he had done to get to the ball.
So we've got Charwood, we've got David Shepherd. I think John Wisden, obviously before our time, John Wisden played.
Apparently, yes. Well, so, I don't know very much about him, I'm afraid.
No, there are no pictures here. Nothing going back that. So let's just continue wandering round the pavilion, Conway. We're going out. We're still looking outside where the rain's pelting down. There's lots of pictures here of teams going back over the years. Are there any that come to mind as famous occasions, Conway, you want to tell us about?
Well, the big. Obviously, we've. In the just after the war, Henfield played the Sussex Club and Ground,
right?
Which was apparent. Well, I can vaguely remember things about what was going on with flags everywhere, and I think we got a bit of a hammer in that day. But George Cox languages all of the the Parkses and everything, they were all here playing cricket, and they loved it.
So it was a strong team that Henson were playing against.
They had their normal strong side out.
Right.
Cox was the captain of the of the other side. Mm.
And I understand at one time there was a game where there were 10 Sussex players playing for the Henfield side.
Well, yes, that was really a long time ago, yes. even before my time.
Even before your time. Now, just moving on down through the pavilion, I see there's some wooden plaques here and a bell, which I presume is rung.
Yeah, the bell is rung at tea time.
Right.
Not that you have much tea nowadays.
So we have a. We'll have a ring on the bell there.
It's got a good sound to it.
It has, yes. Yeah. So you mentioned teas there now. Do you still do teas?
No, we don't do teas now. And like everybody else, it's one of those things that has just sort of fallen out of fashion, right. Unfortunately.
Yes.
It's a difficult one. I mean, like all things, we used to play all-day matches as well and have lunch and everything else. Mm. But it's all... Times have changed, haven't they?
Yes. Yeah.
It's a different form of cricket nowadays to what it used to be.
Right. And you play Saturdays and Sundays?
We play Saturdays and Sundays. We have midweek six-a-side and midweek 20-over games.
Right.
So, and obviously lots of colts. We've got somewhere in the region of 80 to 100 colts. We run about six teams of those, so, right. And you know, it's all for the good of the club and for the future of the club.
Well, let's hope some of those colts come through to play for Sussex and perhaps England.
Well, we can, but hope. Yes.
Now we're now looking at a plaque in the pavilion. There's three of them actually. The top one says the clock on this pavilion was presented by W.F. Waite in memory of his brother, F.E. Waite, who was captain of the Henfield Cricket Club from 1937 to 1939 and a life member from 1949 to 1953. Yeah. Underneath that, we've got the celebration plaque of the opening of the pavilion by none other than A.E.R. Gilligan on July the 19th, 1926. And then another one, when the extension was opened again by A.E.R. Gilligan in August the 10th, 1953.
Yeah.
So you've been involved with various things that have gone on here in the pavilion, Conway. Yeah.
Well, initially, they used to put up, apparently, this was a game before my time, but they used to put up a tent on the sort of west of the ground, and use that as a changing facilities and everything else. And apparently, everybody got so fed up with this putting up a tent and taking it down and everything else that in the end they said, right, we've got to build something.
Right.
And luckily enough, one of the people that really helped the club an awful lot, Frank Maston.
Right.
He was, in fact, a Ditchling person, but he lived in Henfield and worked at the local building contractor. He said, right, we're going to have a pavilion.
Right.
And he built the first part of this pavilion anyway.
Mm. And it looks, from the plaque there, it was paid for by members and supporters.
Yes, yeah. And there is a list somewhere that shows you who paid and how much they paid towards the building of it. Some people only paid a penny or a half penny, or which was a lot of money in those days, of course. Yeah. But there is a complete record of that.
Mm. And at various times the pavilion has then been extended and improved. You've now got a bar and a kitchen.
It's been extended now twice. Once we extended it for, put a new bar on it and changed the bar area, and then we've extended it further again because of the mechanical requirements that is needed to run a club.
Right.
We've got a store out the back there where we keep our mowers and everything else,
right,
where our groundsman, Mr. Blake, does a great job looking after the pitch during the during the year.
Right, yeah. Now, I was reading a story about one of your members who was driving past the common one day and noticed white vans in the area, the parking area, and realised that something was going on. And I think the white vans were people that were removing tiles from the roof.
Yes. We had somebody, Tim Parsons, who played for us for a long, long time. He used to work at Gatwick.
Right.
And he was driving past very early in the morning to go to Gatwick and noticed these what was happening. And had the sense to get hold of some police. The police came and made them put all the tiles back onto the roof again. But they didn't do that. They just sort of, in the end, one of the local builders came and he bought all of the tiles because they were the old-fashioned tiles,
right,
which were worth a lot of money. And he put new concrete tiles on just for the cost of doing it themselves. So it didn't cost us anything in the end, but that was very, very useful.
Yes, he was lucky he drove by when he did, otherwise...
And had the foresight to actually realise something was amiss.
That's terrific. Now, just moving on up through the pavilion, we've got various plaques here which relate to people. It looks like they've passed away now, and presidents, etc. Oh, Frank Maston, I think you
Frank
mentioned.
Frank Maston, he was probably the one person. I sort of took over a little bit from Frank, all of the admin of the club, the fixture. He kept all the fixture lists, all the accounts and everything, you know.
Right.
Frank didn't get rid of everything. That's what meant that we could carry on looking after the club and still keeping our records complete.
Yes.
Our records, I can say, are... they're probably 99% complete. I think we missed 1 year from the end of the war.
Right. And you mentioned earlier to me that a lot of your records have been sent to the West Sussex Record Office in Chichester.
All of the score books are down for the first 11 and the second 11 are at the Chichester Archives Department.
Right.
So if you want to know anything about, if you've ever played against Henfield at any time from the war on, then you can always go there and check it out.
Right, that's very useful to know. So just moving on round here, we've got the cult section here. This is the Nelson Thorns trophy.
Yes.
Nelson Thorns, that's your father.
That was my dad.
Your
that
dad.
Was my father,
right.
Yep.
And he was the local butcher, wasn't he?
He was the local butcher, yes.
So
yep.
He got you into cricket, would you say, Conway?
Yes, definitely. I mean, he was... You tend to follow your father, don't you? And but yes, he used to bring me out to the common to do a bit of work on the ground, and I'd run around out here. We'd come and do some help with the moles, dig up the moles, and try and stop them. He did quite a lot of work like that. Being local, he had the time to come and do it a lot of the
time.
So he was all right. But he loved his cricket, and he was quite a good cricketer as well.
And from there, you've passed that on to your son.
Well, hopefully, yeah.
He's passed it on to his grandson.
Yes, it looks as though it's going carried on. Yeah, so we have great hopes of Seb in the future.
Right, that's terrific. That's terrific. And then further up here, those are windows looking into the changing rooms
I
think.
Changing rooms,
right, okay. I can report that the weather's not improving today. but I think we were talking earlier, Conway, about the fact that some years ago there was a problem with the outfield here at the eastern end.
Yep.
And the cows were knee-deep in the mud. You've still got a problem with the outfield and draining it?
The outfield, it over the years it's drained very well. Obviously, the summers we've had have been pretty good. But Sport England, there is a football club, football pitch on the north side of the cricket pitch. And the Sport England spent a lot of money on upgrading that, and that has made a difference to the general drainage over the whole of the field. Although part of the area still gets very, very wet. There is still some sort of little springs somewhere around, right. somewhere that...
Right. Yeah, and as we look, we're standing looking out at the square now.
Yeah.
We've got, and you may know this if you're local, we've got the road coming from Woodmancote to Henfield on our left, and on our right we've got the football area, and the ground is sloping from left to right.
Yeah, yeah,
and at the moment, the rain that's falling is just coming straight up back through the surface again.
Yes.
But very often in the summer, Conway, I've driven on this road and the area here is lined with cars.
Oh, yes.
You get quite a few people popping by, don't you?
Oh, we get quite a lot of people here. I mean, two years ago when we played the MCC for our 250th anniversary, We can't really be too sure, but we reckon there was at least 1,000 people here around the ground.
Right.
You could not move for people.
Right.
All the vans, the pizza van sold out, the beer van sold out, everything sold
right.
out.
And that was against the MCC?
That was the MCC,
right.
yeah, yeah.
Okay, right. Now, if we move down the pavilion here, we're going towards the bar, but it's firmly... shut today,
yes.
And above the bar is another plaque, which is Henfield Cricket Club, Club Captains and Presidents.
Yes.
Now, this is very interesting. Presidents, they start post-war, and the first one of the presidents is Dr. H.F. Squires, and of course the Squire brothers wrote the book we've been looking at.
Yep.
Henfield in its Sussex cradle.
Yeah.
And you have memories of Dr. Squires?
Yes, I can remember Dr. Squires as a doctor.
Right.
Yes, he was the local Henfield doctor. He and his brother used to look after the village.
Right. And then at the very bottom, we've got 2018, President... is a Mr. C. E. Thorns.
C.F. Thorns.
C.F. Thorns.
Yes, yeah.
Right,
yeah, that's
okay.
Me.
That's you.
Yeah.
And then there's one there in the middle, 1996, R.A. Pavey.
That was, a lot of people probably remember.
Was he connected
Ron Pavey?
Yeah.
He was all to do with the football club, with the Albion.
The Albion. Right.
And he played here for quite a while as well.
Right. Ron Pavey.
Until he unfortunately
yes.
died.
Yeah, a number of our listeners will probably remembered Ron Pavey, who I think was at the Albion in the Goldstone days.
He was, certainly, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
And then looking across at the club captains, they start, so he's all post-war, N. Thorns, 1948-49, N. Thorns being your...
Nelson Thorns being my father.
Your father, right, okay. And then we've got David Silverson there in 1965-66.
And in 70 as well, and 74, 75.
Oh, yes, goodness me. And Ron Pavey as a captain
and
as
Ron
well.
And Ron Pavey as well, yeah.
Ron Pavey was quite a good cricketer, was he?
He was a good cricketer.
Right.
He was a good club cricketer.
Right.
Difficult batsman to get out.
Right,
But he loved it. He loved his sport. Ron was a sportsman.
Yes. Oh, and he was captain again in 89-91.
Yeah.
And then your son in 97-98, Kevin Thorns.
Yeah, and then...
And in 2005-2006.
Yeah.
And then we come back to the more recent eras, and the current captain is still...
George Stewart.
George Stewart.
He's one of the twins and very, very good cricketer as well.
Very good
cricketer.
Yes, so that's a record going back to the post-war years.
Yes.
Now, we've moved away from a table. There's another picture up here on the just above our heads, which is a panorama of the ground,
yes,
I think.
Yes, yes.
Henfield Cricket Club versus a President's 11, 4th of August 1991.
Yeah.
And it looks beautiful there, doesn't it? Lovely sunny day.
A lot better than today.
Yeah, a lot better than today.
Yeah.
And then looking over here on the left, we've got some famous people from the past.
Some of these are... I mean, probably the one person that... stands out on this picture, on these pictures, is Trevor Adcock.
Right.
Now, most people that have played cricket in Sussex will remember Trevor.
Right.
Trevor played for Henfield on a Sunday and Stenning on a Saturday. But that was the day when Sunday was the day that everybody played proper cricket. They all talked about it changed after, but Sunday cricket was a big thing.
Right.
And that, and Trevor played when we were probably one of the strongest sides in Sussex at this time, just after the war, okay, in the 60s.
He
scored lots of runs, got lots of wickets, he did get 10 wickets as well.
Right.
So,
okay. Are there any pictures of you up here, Conway?
No.
And these three chaps here, are these the... at the top here, they're not the ones... Because there were three... players.
They're the chaplain, and
these are the three captains, that were Sussex
they're
captains.
They're the captains of Sussex, yeah.
Right, okay, and we've got their names here. So Henfield have provided three Sussex captains. C.H. Smith in 1861.
Yep.
C.L.A. Smith in 1898.
Yep.
And H.P. Chaplin in 1905.
Yep, and there are those three, the pictures are there.
Yes, yeah, they're looking terrific there. One of them's sitting down on some shrubbery by the look of it.
Yeah.
But one's batting, or two of them are batting.
Very staged, so, I think.
Yes, yeah. So Henfield have had some famous players in the past, going from John Wisden and David Shepherd right through to these three.
And there's a picture of Gilligan opening the...
Arthur Gilligan opening
the pavilion.
Opening the pavilion there, yes. Yeah, that's fantastic. And then further over, J.W. Vinyl.
Yeah, he was...
Jim.
And he was captured in the war.
Right.
Unfortunately, but he was...
And he's actually pictured here. He was obviously in the RAF.
Yes.
He was a flying officer.
Yeah.
He was nicknamed Jim. And an honorary secretary from 1932 to 1939.
Yeah.
Right. So... Now, further over here, we've got a lovely... Oh, some more pictures here, Conway.
You're going back to the very, the very, very earliest photos.
Right, we've got Henfield Common. Now, this must be the tent that's pictured here before
the
pavilion.
Tents. Yeah.
Right, and it is literally...
a tent.
It's a tent, and it's only got three sides to it.
Yeah.
And this was dated... 1863 on Henfield Common.
And this is when we played, this is against Stenning.
Right.
Stenning, of course, have always been one of our Henfield sort of...
A needle match.
Yes, a needle match. They've always probably, unfortunately, been better than us most of the time. But we've had some great games with Stenning.
Right, OK. And there's nobody... From your earlier era in this 1863, are the Thorns in there at all?
There's a John Thorns.
John Thorns,
one of my relations as well.
Right, okay.
So he's the only one. So he's the only. Oh, and Tom, Uncle Tom.
Right.
John Thorns was the youngest. And Tom Thorns. Yeah.
And that's 1863.
Yeah.
So. And then further up here, we've got a Sussex 11, August the 14th, 1867. And this must be the Sussex, Henfield players in that day. And in fact, John Lillywhite's in the picture.
Yeah.
And James Lillywhite. Who else have we got there? Yes, Stubberfield.
Charwood.
That was the fellow that played in the two test games.
Yep.
Yep, these are very early pictures we're looking at here. And then further down, we've got May 1926, I think it is.
The Vicar's 11.
The Vicar's 11.
Yeah.
Now, the Vicar in Henfield, around the end of the First World War, cricket took a bit of a dive in Henfield, didn't it?
It did, yes, everywhere, but apparently so.
Yes.
I don't know, but... apparently it did, but we did have a vicar, or Canon Lee his name was. I don't know the hierarchy
of that,
but he was called Canon Lee.
Right.
And he was one of the instigators to get everybody out and about and starting playing cricket again.
Okay. So, and he was at the church in Henfield.
He was at the church in Henfield,
yes. Obviously a keen cricketer. I don't think he's pictured.
He's not in this one. No. There's the flyer.
Oh, Jay Vinyl.
Again.
Yep.
So,
okay.
And all of these, he was the local postman.
Right.
He's my dad. You know, I mean.
Yes.
Weight, you saw the thing about weight, and it's all...
Yes, really in the family.
Yes, yeah.
And then we've got a 1924 game. There's Jay Vinyl again there, yep. Enthorns. So they reappear time after time.
Time after time,
yes. So, and up there, that's 1920. No pavilion there. So the pavilion hadn't been constructed. Now this, the farmers versus the tradesmen. Now it must have been, there was a farmers tradesman game back in the 1800s, wasn't there, where a Thorns played?
Yes, there was, yeah. Well, it was one of those things that did play, they picked these teams every now and again,
right.
Didn't they?
Yes, and the Thorns that played in the farmers tradesman game was a relation of yours, obviously?
All of them were Thornses, yeah.
Right, yes.
In this particular photo you're looking at there, there's my great-grandfather, my dad, his three brothers, and my grandfather.
Right, yes, yeah, but no pavilion at that time.
No pavilion.
They're sheltering under a tree. Now we move along, and the next one, the centenary picture, 1837 to 1937, a celebration match against the Sussex County Cricket Club. And again, we've got the pavilion here, so it was quite new at that time, wasn't it?
Yep, yep.
And we've got the crest above the pavilion, and I'm sure there are some Thorns in that picture there.
Yes, there's definitely on the right hand.
Well, we've got some. We've got a Parks, a Langridge, a couple of Oakses.
Eaton.
Yeah. Yes, yep, they're all there.
There's the Enthorns.
Oh, Enthorns again, yeah. Jay Vinyl, yep.
Yeah.
So, again, and the pavilion is decorated with flags. It's all looking very smart. And again, here, there's another picture. I can see the martlets on some of the jumpers here. I don't think that's got a date on it, has it?
No, it doesn't. That's
no.
The same. It's the same. It's exactly it's the same photo. It's just
right.
Before they went into bat.
Yeah.
And this is them going out to field. This
right.
The Sussex side.
Oh, yes. The Sussex County 11.
Yeah.
Yes. Centenary match.
Yeah.
So, and then we've got more pictures round here. Now, these people... the team here, this is an annual fixture you play?
It was an annual fixture. It's been stopped now, but we played Kinney Congonians for a long, long time, yeah.
Right, okay.
Especially after the war when they used to actually come from Kenya to play cricket.
Right, oh yes, there's a couple of pictures here of them coming here to play cricket.
Yeah.
And then we've got more pictures as we move round the pavilion. But Conway has very kindly bought a large album with him today, which he has put together himself. It's entitled Henfield Cricket Club's 250-year anniversary book. And inside this book, you've put together some amazing things, Conway. Just talk us through what you've done here.
Well, I just tried to look at it from an unprofessional point of view and see what people would like to look at. So
right.
I've given them a brief history of the club and how it started. I've given them a history of how the pavilion was built. And how the teams slowly progressed from what they are to what it is now. After the war, we ran a couple of sides, but it slowly got more and more. The strength of Henfield got stronger and stronger as the war years gone away, and we were. We were then considered round about the 50s or the 60s, probably one of the strongest sides in Sussex. We were up there with Horsham's and anybody else you mentioned. We used to play them all the time,
right.
And the Treadaways of Horsham and all those sort of people.
Right.
But
has Henfield ever played in the village, the National Village
competition? No, we were too big for
right.
that.
Right, you weren't considered a village.
We weren't considered a village, no,
no. No, no. And at the beginning of this album, there's a lovely picture of cricket being played on the common. There's a bit of cloud around, but the sun is shining through the cloud. And there's a lovely light on the wicket area. Mm. And then Conway's put all this together. There's a history of the pavilion, yeah. of the formation of the club, and some of the pictures of the ground in various states here. Oh, there's the picture with the tent.
Yeah.
And I mean, these days you've done very well because the pavilion is not only used as a cricket pavilion, is it? It has other uses. In the
yeah. Nowadays, like most clubs, you need money, and we rent it out during the week to a nursery, so that it gives us a nice income to keep going.
Right.
And we don't have to raise our sub so high. That's a great thing.
Yes, and people can hire out the pavilion.
So you can hire out the pavilion whenever you want to, but obviously not in the cricket season.
No, that's terrific. Now, we're just looking through this album. There's lots of old pictures here after the war. Oh, here's some medals here. Let's have a look.
Yeah.
Oh, right, yes, there's some autograph pages.
Yeah, there are autograph pages, yeah, of lunches and things.
Yes, and then these medals, what are these?
These
then?
Are medals that were given to, in the, when was it, 1937.
Right.
They were given to the ladies who did all of the work producing food for all the banquets.
Right.
So, Miss Payne, a Mrs. Richardson, Miss Alice, and Mrs. Vinyl, and so these we've got three of the four. So they were presented to them as a mark of saying thank you very much indeed.
Right. Now, as we flick through the album, the other thing that I noted was that the club has had quite a big relationship with the George pub in Henfield over the years.
Originally, the George and the cricket club were pretty well the same thing. They would used to play a lot of all-day matches, and they would go off to the George for a long lunch. And then there would be a drinking club in the evening as well, yes.
Right.
And the George looked after us very, very well.
Okay.
But I think that was mainly also due to the fact that the person in the George was very keen on cricket as well.
Right.
Probably keen on his till as well. But
now, I was reading in the Squire's book that the landlord of the George provided what they called or described as the ordinary, which was the midday meal, which was provided. I don't know if you still...
No, I didn't know much about that.
Do you still have a relationship with...
Not so much now, no. Because we have our own bar.
Right, yes.
And that is where we have to make our money from, is a bar.
Right, yep. And there's lots of pictures going back through the ages. We're now in colour picture territory.
Yeah.
So we're in recent...
just as...
Recent era.
That was one of the... Sussex... Henfield won the Horsham Six-a-Side tournament in 1963.
Right. Okay.
Which was one of our...
Oh, yes, there's Adcock again.
There's Adcock again. Yes, that's myself, yeah. And that's... Yeah. That's Dave Silverson, who's...
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, no. So there's a real history and a real village feel to the club here, isn't there?
Well, we think there is. We'd like to think there is anyway. Yes.
Yeah. Now, obviously, Henfield play on what is known as the Common, and that's been an important factor in the club, hasn't it? The fact that you've got this ground here, which was... fenced off in the past?
I can't remember exactly. One of our presidents, I know it was the lady president in...
we've got some pictures up here.
Yeah, Mrs. Hicks.
Right.
She arranged the area for the cricket pitch, and she paid for all of the
picket fencing
right. Around the outside.
Okay.
The council, and I can remember my father saying, oh, we've got to pay our rent to the council, and they used to pay a guinea a year, but to be fair to the council, we haven't paid that anything for it. For the council are happy that we look after the ground and make it look nice here, and we keep the grass cut and everything else, and it's good for the village.
Right.
So nobody has any problems at all with that.
Now, probably some of our younger listeners won't know what a guinea is, will
they? No, 21 shillings.
21 shillings, that's right.
Yes, Mrs. Hicks bought it and paid for all of the... Yes. All of it.
And we're looking at a picture of Mrs. Hicks. I think she's picking some flowers in the...
In a garden there.
And next door to Mrs. Hicks is Canon Lee, who we mentioned just now.
Yeah.
And also Ron Pavey, I saw along
Ron
here.
Ron Pavey's
yes.
here, yeah.
Yeah, he's there as well. Yeah.
Next to Judge Block, who was a very big instigator of the club after the war as well,
Judge. Yes.
He sat on the bar in London.
Okay.
Quite an important person. And above him, we have Frank Maston, as I say, who really sort of looked after the club for years and years.
Right.
He did so much for the club, it's unbelievable. But he was captain, he played, he looked after it. He was... the Mr. Henfield at the time.
Right, and then next to him is the man...
Dr. Squire,
who wrote the book.
Yep, that's right.
And looked after the health of the village.
Yep.
And probably a few cricketers went to see him if they were...
Oh, yeah, yes, yeah, well, yeah.
Pulled hamstrings, etc.
You can always go and see Dr. Squires. And their family still live in the village anyway.
Yes,
so.
So the thing that's coming through here, Conway, is of a club which is really based in the village with village people who have been involved and have been committed to it over the years.
Oh, I think so, yes.
Has kept it going.
Yeah, definitely, yes.
And how do you see it going now? I mean, with the changes in lifestyles and...
It's a difficult one. Cricket nowadays is totally different from when I started, from anybody. My grandson has just bought a new cricket bat.
Right.
Cost hundreds of pounds.
Yes.
We used to go to a cricket match with a cricket bag and three bats,
right.
Didn't we? And a pair of pads, and the first one to get the bat out had the best bat. You know, because there was only a club bag. You didn't have anything else. It's a very expensive sport to play now.
Mm.
You know, everybody wants pads, they want bats, helmets. Mm. You know, it's amazing.
Mm.
So, you know, it's all right to be living in Henfield, and to be fair, a lot of the parents can afford to do this sort of thing, but it is going to be difficult to get sides from inner cities and so to play cricket. Mm. You know, the days of Freddie Truman saying we'll whistle down a mine and get another fast bowler are long since gone. Yeah,
not many mines near him.
No, but so it's evolving, but it's how it's going to evolve. I really don't know. Also, I think a lot of people now want to play more the shorter form of the game, yeah?
Right.
Whether it's because of...
Time constrained
or wife constrained or something like that.
Yes, yeah.
You know, when we grew up, I'm sure the same with you, you played cricket in the summer, football in the winter, maybe a bit of golf now and again. Summer. Now there's 1,001 things you can do all through the... That takes your time up, and it's just sort of how it's going to change into the future. I've no idea.
No.
I mean, it'll still keep going in some form or other, but I think it will be maybe a different form.
Yes, yeah. Well, certainly here you seem to have a good foundation for keeping the club going and growing it.
I think so. Yeah.
I mean, I was reading. I think it was in Squire's book. that in 1948, Henfield Cricket Club went on a tour of the Isle of Wight.
Yes, there's some pictures in there of it, exactly.
And apparently, the supporters travelled in two motor coaches.
That's right.
You had two motor coaches of supporters.
Yes. Yes, well, that was right. That was when Sven Karma used to play for us as well, from Preston Nomads.
Right.
And, that was quite a good tour, apparently.
Right.
My dad used to talk about how many brown ales they had consumed.
Right. So, I mean, do you have memories yourself of the early days of playing cricket here?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, some of the stories.
I've played... one of the great stories was, I think it was in the 50s, and... we used to play St Matthias, who were quite a good Brighton side.
Right.
And we were playing them on the Sunday, and St Matthias played somewhere away on the Saturday. They came past the common on the Saturday night after drinking, and the captain got them all out and lined them up along the pitch. You'd see the pitch because it was already marked out, and made everybody wee at the same time on the pitch. The following day, we apparently won the toss and batted. We got 170 something,
right,
and got them out for 32. And they were talking about this afterwards. I wish they'd never.
It backfired a little bit on them.
Yeah.
Yes.
So. And there's the story about just on the other, the south side of the pitch. There's a house there, a farmer's house,
right,
where Mr. and Mrs. White lived. One Sunday afternoon, she was in her back kitchen, right at the back of the house. Trevor Adcock hit the ball straight through the front door, straight down the hallway, and it finished up in a bowl of water in a sink.
Did he only get six for that?
Yeah. So yes, there's lots of these sort of silly little stories. Yeah,
that's right. Yes, yeah. And is anybody recording these anywhere, do you think, apart from us here now?
Probably not.
No. It's great to have those sort of stories, isn't it, from the past?
Yeah, we played. This was the second 11 game I played in. I was captain, and we were playing at Burgess Hill, and we were battling away for a win, and suddenly. From, do you know Burgess Hill?
Yes.
From somewhere by the church, coming across
right.
that way, this woman comes steaming across the, and a go at our batsman, who should have been home at 6 o'clock and wasn't, and was battling away trying to win us a game.
Right.
And she really let fly.
I'm sure his teammates found that funny as well.
We thought it was hilarious. We've also had one big tragedy here.
Right.
The first 11 were playing Arundel in a league match.
Okay.
And we had a really superb man. He was a great cricketer. And he batted for probably half an hour, three quarters of an hour at the end to save the game.
Right.
He came... stood up, had a beer at the bar, and I was talking to him, and he heeled over and died, unfortunately.
Had a heart attack.
He had a heart attack.
Right.
Mark Smith, his name was,
right.
And he was such a wonderful person.
He was a Henfield player.
He was a Henfield player, yeah.
And he saved the game, did he?
He saved us the game. He batted,
right.
He batted for... half an hour to three quarters of an hour,
right.
with a couple of other people, and and we walked off as happy
right.
as anything. And then that something like that happened.
That's very tragic,
know.
Isn't it?
Yeah,
it's
really unfortunate when you get things of that description
that's right.
happening. Yeah.
Yes, yeah, so. No. Well, that's been fantastic, Conway, having a chat today, and it's still raining here, I'm afraid. But when does your season start?
This year probably sort of September. No, normally April, last week in April, something like that, May or something like that.
We haven't actually ventured outside to test the ground today, but I think it would be pretty wet.
I think you'd be up to your eyebrows in it today.
That's right.
Yeah,
now, well, it's been fantastic coming over here and hearing today about Henfield Cricket Club. And I'm sure our listeners will be interested to hear all your stories and just to hear, you know, John Wisden, Charlwood, the three Sussex captains that have played for you. So it's a rich history here, and it's been great hearing all of those. And all I would say now is I don't think I'll ever get to ring the bell at Lord's. so I think I'd just like to have a ring on your bell before we finish.
Carry
that's
on,
all right.
There's no trouble at all.
So we'll just go down through the pavilion, we're just approaching the bell now, we'll... give a ring to signal the end of our latest podcast. So thanks for listening. And if you do like these podcasts, please like them on your provider and they'll drop into your inbox when we next do them. Bye for now.